Hi, this is Pastor John, and I thought it might be helpful if each day I open up the scriptures and share what's on my mind. I want to kind of invite you into my thoughts and the scriptures that I am meditating upon so that I can be an encouragement to you, so that we together can get through this challenging time with a heavenly perspective, though walking wisely on this earth. And so the passage that's been on my mind today is actually Colossians chapter 1. I like to read that and then make some comments along the way. So get out your Bible and let's open up to Colossians 1. It's one of the greatest passages on Christ in the scriptures. There's a lot here on him. It's a Christological passage. Colossians 1 verse 1 begins with Paul. And like many of Paul's letters, he has a lot to say right at the beginning. Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We could stop right there and just meditate upon those truths, that from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit, we receive grace and peace. And then Paul says, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And that's the heartbeat of the rest of the pastors and the deacons. We are praying for each of you. And then Paul continues in verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you learned from Epaphras. Now, we believe Epaphras was the local pastor, our dear fellow servant who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who has also declared to us your love in the Spirit. I love how the whole Trinity is involved in this passage. I love the fact that there is a local pastor involved in the body of Christ, shepherding, giving the word, encouraging the saints. But also we hear about the impact of the gospel in the lives of this church. Whether you were saved yesterday or a year or a decade or more ago, the gospel is still having an impact in our lives. And that is the nature of the gospel. It is shaping us into the image of Christ. One person said this, the upright soul is constant in his profession and does not change his behavior according to his companions. Oh, that I might never, through shame or fear, disown him who has already acknowledged me. George Swinnick said that, and I love this truth, that Christ has acknowledged each of you before the Father. And as we head into these uncharted waters, may we continue to acknowledge him before men. Verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That is one full passage. But do you see what's going on here? Paul is praying for the church, that the church would fill its mind with the scriptures, and through that grid of truth, walk wisely. Each of you have different neighbors, different contexts, and different set of circumstances. Paul prayed for the church then, and we are praying for the church now, that you in your context will seek God in prayer, read the scriptures, and then act accordingly to bring glory to him and make a difference to those that know you. We want you to be the salt and light, and you can be that salt and light because we have the scriptures for wisdom, we have the Holy Spirit for comfort and strength, and we have redemption. We're sealed and secure in Christ. Charles Spurgeon said it this way: afflictions cannot sanctify us except as they are used by Christ as his mallet and his chisel. Our joys and our efforts cannot make us ready for heaven apart from the hand of Jesus, who fashions our hearts aright and prepares us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And I love what Spurgeon's getting at. He's saying, look, when Christ is intimately involved, when he is working to sanctify you in your life, that's when you'll be changed and those around you will be changed. Now we come to verse 13, and these are some amazing truths that come through our salvation in Christ. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. These are great truths. We have inherited salvation. That in itself is great joy and comfort. For those of us who got saved later in life, we know what it was like to be under Satan's dominion of darkness and how we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But now, being delivered from that, we can appreciate our newfound family in Christ. And then Paul talks about being brought into his eternal kingdom. We are citizens of heaven above, though we live right now on earth below. And I love the truth. He's redeemed us. He bought us. He paid a significant price with his life and his shed blood. And with that, we are delivered from condemnation, from sin and judgment. All our sins are forgiven. This is what fills my mind right now. I'm focusing on my salvation. I'm focusing on my security. I'm focusing on the things that I am so thankful for. Spending time with my family, spending time with other believers praying. These are the things that help us walk faithfully. And these are the things we should be doing: praying for one another, encouraging one another, sharing with one another. Verse 15, Paul brings the focus back to Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, meaning he's preeminent. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And this is a bedrock truth. The Father, through the Son, creates this universe, and there's nothing that he can't see or hear or know. This crisis does not take God by surprise, and it will serve a purpose. For some, it's going to be their condemnation. For others, it's going to be their deliverance, because they're going to seek out God in their fear, and maybe God will use you as you share with others your faith in Christ. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. I love what one person wrote, John Flavel: Christ is that ocean in which all true delights and pleasures meet. This is how I rest my soul. I focus on who Christ is and all that he has done for me. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. And this is a great reminder of the importance for us to daily come to Christ in faith, reading the scriptures, praying, persevering, regardless of what is outside our doors. John Wesley said this: this great gift of God, the salvation of our souls, is no other than the image of God fresh stamped on our hearts. It is a renewal of believers in the spirit of their minds after the likeness of him that created them. And I love what Wesley's getting at. It's the idea that when we reflect on what Christ has done, his person and work, that it can rejuvenate our minds. It can refresh our minds and get our minds focused on what is good and right. Verse 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We may be 2,000 years since the cross, but we are the living light. We are the unfolding mystery of God, Christ in you. And I love this truth that Paul is saying. He rejoices in the sufferings that happened to him, in the afflictions, as he goes out into the world to share the gospel and endures the persecutions. Verse 28, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. And of course, Paul is reflecting on his specific call to be this apostle, to go into the world and preach the gospel to Jew and Gentile, but predominantly Gentiles. Oliver Wendell Holmes said this, I find the great thing in this world is not so much where we stand as in what direction we are moving. To reach the port of heaven, we must sail sometimes with the wind and sometimes against it, but we must sail and not drift nor lie at anchor. Colossians 1 is a passage that's precious to me, and I hope is a passage that's precious to you. Meditate on the person of Christ. Meditate on the work of Christ. Meditate on your redemption. And there in the quietness of your mind, thank God for that. Thank God for your deliverance. And encourage one another with these precious truths that we are secure in Christ. Well, I look forward to chat with you tomorrow. I hope and pray this has been an encouragement to each of you. And until tomorrow, remain steadfast in your hope and love for Christ and each other.